insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free, and we'll handle the filing so you could start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
The U.S. is one of the deadliest nations for journalists this year, largely because of the mass shooting at a Maryland newspaper that took five lives. More on the story from USA's Chris Barnes.
Until now, the U.S. had never appeared on this annual list from Reporters Without Borders, but this year it ranks among the most lethal countries for journalists, behind Afghanistan, which was number one, followed by Syria, Mexico, Yemen, India, and then the United States, where six journalists were killed out of the 80 media professionals killed this year. The report has been published annually by Reporters Without Borders since 1995. More journalists were killed, abused, and subjected to violence in 2018 than in any other year on record. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
John Clemens reports the price of gas is going down.
The national average is now at $2.36 a gallon. Dan McTague of GasBuddy.com describes as an early Christmas present for motorists.
If you look at it compared to this time last week when we were paying $2.42 a gallon, we're down almost 6 cents on that front. And the news is even better. If you look at where we were, say, a month ago, we're down almost 28 cents a gallon, which puts us well over the fact that this time last year, average cost of fill up here in America was about 7 cents more expensive.
I'm John Clemens.
Take us with you and listen anytime at home or on your personal device at usaradio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Welcome to Legends of Success. Today, a very special program we'd like to share with you. As you have heard John mention, he started the Legends of Success radio show in January of 2002. A brand new show with a host not known to many, especially to those on the Forbes 400 list. John worked hard to reach out and reach these business legends and was able to convince them to join him as guest on his new radio show. In May of 2002, he landed a big catch. William Bill Rosenberg was an amazing American entrepreneur. A lot of you may not be aware of the fact that Bill Rosenberg was the founder of Dunkin' Donuts. Today, you will hear that interview and incredible show. It should be noted that at the time, in May of 2002, Bill was battling lung cancer. On September 20th of 2002, Bill Rosenberg died from cancer at the age of 86. A very special program in the history of Legends of Success, and an interview with a very special person, one of the greatest American entrepreneurs, Bill Rosenberg, the founder of Dunkin' Donuts, on Legends of Success. It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome to today's edition of Legends of Success. This is America's program that introduces you firsthand to our country's outstanding entrepreneurs, CEOs, and members of the Forbes 400 list, and where they share with you their stories of overcoming obstacles and setbacks to make it to the top. I'm John Resnick, and I thank you for joining us today. In the history of our country, there have been maybe a handful of entrepreneurs have accomplished what William Rosenberg has. Here's my point. How many people do you know can say that they've never been to a Dunkin' Donuts? Let me turn that question around. How many businesses in America today can state that almost every single person in this country has been on their customer list? I mean, think how powerful that is. In 1950, Bill Rosenberg was the founder of Dunkin' Donuts and has lived the American dream. He went on to create the International Franchise Association, which has over 30,000 members today, and starting with one horse, created Willrose Farms, a highly successful horse breeding operation that won millions and millions of dollars in races, as well as the prestigious Hambletonian, which is the standard bred equivalent to the Kentucky Derby. Bill has successfully fought off and survived lung cancer and lymphoma with tenacity and grit. And in the process, he has created significant endowments and medical chairs to assist beating this disease. After accomplishing all these goals, there's only one thing that became obvious, and he did that too. He chronicled his lifetime journey into an autobiography. It's titled Time to Make the Donuts. And I will tell you, if you're a business owner, if you've never planned on being a business owner, I don't care who you are, this book, Time to Make the Donuts, is one of the most fascinating human interest stories, stories of starting with nothing and building up a tremendous success. Bill Rosenberg is a unique individual, and we are honored today to welcome, as my guest and your guest, Bill Rosenberg. Bill, welcome to Legends of Success.
Thank you, John. How are you?
I'm doing great. Bill, I want to go back. You know, you have, and it's chronicled, one of the most dynamic and fascinating stories. I said it before, but I mean it today. I don't know how in this hour we're going to cover everything, but the one thing I didn't point out, with all the accomplishments in your lifetime, that you only went to school to the age of 14. And what happened? Let's go back to the Boston area where you were born. Tell us about the tough times you went through back then, Bill.
Well, I tell you, we came from a family of very humble means. And if humble is synonymous with poor, we were extremely humble. But, you know, that was years ago, and most people didn't have a heck of a lot. It wasn't like it is today. And I was brought up, and I had to leave school when I say I had to, I really didn't have to, but those of us who were ambitious and cared about our families who were struggling at the time, don't forget, I was 14 years of age in 1930, and that was right in the height of the Great Depression, and I was in the eighth grade. And, of course, in the eighth grade, you couldn't leave school until you were 14 years of age to go to work full-time. So prior to that, of course, I had all kinds of jobs. I shoveled snow, and I shined shoes, and I did all the things that kids do. I had a box on my shoulder selling ice cream on commission and, you know, stuff of that nature. Most of us who were ambitious and had families who needed money and needed help, we delivered orders, grocery orders, and all sorts of odd jobs of that nature. And then, of course, to get a full-time job, I left school in the eighth grade, and you had to be 14 years of age in order to leave school. That was the law, so that's why so many of us left school in the eighth grade. People wonder why did Kemmons Wilson, who founded Holiday Inn, and Howard Johnson, who founded the Howard Johnson Train, and Bill Rosenberg, and I go on and on. Kemmons Wilson, and then I could name so many more who left school in the eighth grade. Is because the law required you to stay in school until you're 14 years of age, and at 14 years of age, you're generally in the eighth grade. In church, when I had depression, many of us left school in the eighth grade.
Well, you left in the eighth grade. I think your father had a grocery store, and you learned a lot of lessons from him. Well, tell us a little bit about the influence your parents have had on you, because I know they were significant.
Well, my mother was a typical mother who everybody loves. Everybody loves a mother like I had, and of course, most mothers, I guess, are like that. She was a great cook and a baker, and she loved people, and she was giving herself all the time. My father was a very bright man, a very smart, logical man. He didn't have the knack of making money for some reason. That wasn't his forte. But he did many other things great. He was active in charities and things of that nature, and politics and so forth and so on. But money making wasn't his forte. So we never lived in too great high style, you know.
Well, that's right. I know in our previous conversations together, Bill, you had mentioned a comment, an inspirational thought that your grandfather gave to you that stuck with you all these years about America and the streets of paved with gold. Can you quote that again?
Yeah, my grandfather came over from the old country, and one day he says to me, you know, he called me in a Hebrew name or a Jewish name. We call Velvel, that's for William, for Jewish is William.
Mm-hmm.
It's Velvel. So he says, you know, Velvel, every day in America, he says, people are walking on gold. Some are too stupid and some are too lazy to stoop down and pick it up.
Well, I don't think you were lazy. Chronicling your life and looking at this book, I know, and that was that's very prophetic because I think that rings true to this day. America is offers the greatest opportunities to anyone that wants to go in business for themselves. A little later in the program, we're going to talk about how you created the International Franchise Association with a whole thought of sharing and putting people in business. But, Bill, going back, you quit school at 14, and eventually you're working for Western Union as a delivery boy by age 16, and you're working pretty hard. I think I read in a book you're holding on to the trolley cars, and that's how you'd make deliveries quicker. Am I correct?
Yeah, and I got a hold on to the back of a truck and you know, help myself along so that you had zones and you got paid on commission. And the further the zone, the higher the commission per telegram. So if you were good at it, then you would get the further zone. So you had to travel longer distances and you're tired. So one of the things that would keep your energy up was to grab a hold of a truck or grab a hold of a car or something. Anything that would help you along and didn't have to pedal and get your distances fast.
You're working a lot smarter than your competitor delivery boys. Now, another point, you got in about age 17. You were influenced by a gentleman by the name of Harry Simberg, who had a company, Simco, and you learned a lot of lessons from Harry Simberg. I think he had a notable friend, Howard Johnson. Tell us a little bit. I know in the hour we're going to have to skip over a lot of this, but tell us the influence, the impact Harry Simberg had and the opportunity you had later on to meet with Howard Johnson.
Remember these Good Humor trucks that used to go around and ring the bell with ice cream?
Absolutely.
Well, I ran some of those trucks, and eventually I worked my way up in the organization. But a fellow named Harry Simberg had an outfit called Jack and Jill, or Simcoe Ice Cream. Simcoe was for Simberg Company. And in the Boston area, he called it Simcoe. And then as he spread out into various parts of the country, they called it Jack and Jill, or Humpty Dumpty. And I worked to work on a truck there, and this man was really a good entrepreneur. He really was a smart entrepreneur and a money-making guy. But he taught me a major lesson, and that was the fact that he taught me that you got to get the best people, and you got to share with them. If you don't share with them, they'll leave you, and you'll wind up with people that aren't as good. So to build an organization, a lasting organization, people who will stay with you and help you build a major organization, you must share your equity and your profit and everything else with them, which he failed to do. And the result of that, most of the good men he had left him, and the people that weren't that good or didn't have the ability to build major businesses, they left and either went somewhere else or went on in the business for themselves. Well, that was a major lesson he taught me.
You know, Bill, and that's not surprising. We still see that to this day. We see it in businesses and law firms and manufacturing firms. It doesn't matter. You wonder why people don't think a little bit more open and be receptive to sharing some of the wealth that can be created and some of the success by some of their key employees. That gave you an influence, and it gave you a strong impression about sharing. And again, in a little while, we're going to get into how you build up the Dunkin' Donuts chain and then got into the International Franchise Association. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Legends of Success. My guest today is Bill Rosenberg, literally one of the most incredible entrepreneurs in the history of America. I'm John Resnick. We'll be right back.
If you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. As an added bonus, our retirement income kit, full of valuable information,
absolutely free.
So if you're a baby boomer with $100,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine. When you want to learn who America's most successful people are, read our Forbes 400 list. When you want to hear firsthand how they got there, listen to Legends of Success with John Resnick. Legends of Success is one of the most original radio programs in years. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. Our guest today, Bill Rosenberg, the founder of Dunkin' Donuts, of the International Franchise Association, and author of his own autobiography, Time to Make the Donuts. This should be on everybody's recommended reading list. This book is filled with so many fascinating details that chronicles the life and times of Bill Rosenberg from all the various enterprises that he built from scratch. I would venture to say that every business school in America should make this required reading. This is a fantastic book, Time to Make the Donuts. I recommend anyone that ever dreams of going into business, if you're in business now, if you never wanted to go in business, it makes great reading. Bill, thanks for coming back after the break here.
You're welcome.
Why, Bill, we were talking earlier, and again, in 45 total minutes within the hour, it's tough to chronicle everything, but you had a lot of influences growing up. Your dad had this store, and also I wanted to mention that your dad used to have the policemen stop by all the time, and he was awful nice to them, and it kind of triggered a thought that later on when you went in business about being hospitable to police, and at that point, a Dunkin' Donuts created a tradition with trying to influence the police to come in, to be friendly to them, and also it helped protect the establishments.
Right.
Bill, let's go back and talk a little bit. In the end of the war, and I want to skip over this, but the end of World War II, there were two gentlemen by the name of Miller and Siegel that had a company called Industrial Luncheon Service that you built up substantially. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that influenced you later on?
Well, they kept calling me. Of course, I was working in the shipyard. My two younger brothers, one of them in the Navy and the other one Lieutenant Donald Norman Rosenberg, was killed in the Second World War at 23 years of age. And I was married and had two children. I was working in the Hingham shipyard, and I became a contract coordinator. I first became a union delegate and then a contract coordinator. And And while working there, these two fellows kept calling me and telling me they wanted me to come to work for them. Of course, I told them I didn't want to come to work for them, and I had a very good job. They wouldn't leave me alone. They kept calling me and calling me and calling me. Well, finally, I had an assistant down at New Haven who said to me one time when I finally got through at the shipyard after the war was over, and of course, it's a long story about my shipyard experience. One of the things I'm most proud of is the fact that we came up with a new method of helping bring along these LCIs and LSTs and turn them out faster and production-wise with a simple little idea. But you'll read that in the book. And these two guys kept on. I said, on the way to New York, my friend said, stop by and see them. So I did, and they wanted me to come in. I said I was going into the prefab housing business, and I was going to Jersey, and on the way back, I'd stop in. And as I did, I saw huge potential in what they were doing, although I didn't think they knew how to go about it, but they had it started, and they knew the restaurant. And they were former delicatessen men out of New York City. And I had my accountant come down and look it over, and I became a third partner. And I built the business substantially, but I found out these fellows weren't doing the right things. They didn't have the right ideas about how to treat employees, how to be patriotic, whatever the reasons were. They were looking to make an immediate buck and not build a long-term relationship. And so it wasn't for me, and I decided to leave them. And I did. I went to Boston, and then I started the business myself.
And at that point, you built that business up much larger than the previous. I think the previous was in Connecticut at the time. Am I correct? The industrial luncheon service, originally you moved into Boston to start your own. Because you didn't like the way it was run. But, you know, in no time at all, I believe by 1949, you had built this business up, your own industrial luncheon service, to 25 in-house cafeterias, 149 catering trucks. And I believe when you used to drive your own truck, you used to paint on the front of it. You were very creative, as noted in your book. On the front of the book, you'd be driving up in your truck, so it would say, here comes Bill. And on the back, it says, there goes Bill.
I was in the ice cream business.
Yeah, and what was interesting is you drive up and people would be already waiting for you. You put your old mark on that.
The kids would say, here comes Bill.
That was pretty creative. But you noticed when you were building up your business, industrial luncheon service, you built up a lot of cafeterias, and you also noticed that there was some progress. In 1949, again, you had up almost 150 trucks. You had 25 cafeterias.
We had more than that. We got up almost 200 trucks.
Up to 200, geez. But you'd noticed, Bill, I think, that the donuts and coffee were starting to comprise 40% of all the sales.
It was more than that. Coffee alone was 40% of all the sales.
It's incredible. And the profit margin on the coffee and donuts?
Well, I don't have to tell you how much any profit on coffee. It's 90% water.
That's exactly right. So you had called your distributor, from Puritan Donut, your supplier, and you tried to hire away the manager, and eventually you did get him. But you learned something very important by the way wholesalers were making donuts, and I believe the excess they were retailing, and you came up with a different theory on how to market your donuts.
Yeah, I decided retailing was the way to go and wholesale your excess production.
Because with wholesaling, again, I think the thought, Bill, you're saying that most of these donut wholesalers were wholesaling everything and the little bit of excess they would retail. But this gentleman that came to you from Puritan said, you know, we had 12 wholesale trucks out on routes and delivering, and we opened one small retail donut store, and it did more profit in that one than all the 12
trucks.
That's exactly right. So that, I think that kind of sets your thoughts for the future, am I correct?
I was brilliant. Somebody hit me on the head with a hammer.
But that made a lot of sense. Going back when you used to go to the beach, was it Nantasket?
I went to City Point and Carson Beach. Personally, my family.
Yeah, you and your family, because you were
I had a place in Nantasket Beach, yeah.
That's right, and you were influenced when you used to go there. You said you used to see these Dunkin' Donuts, but donut shacks that would just have tremendous crowds, and the smell of the donuts and how fresh that coffee was made an impression on you. And then later on, when you built up this catering service and your cafeterias, you brought the man in from Puritan, and you start learning lessons about what you wanted to do with your donuts. Am I correct?
What I really found out was that these wholesale donut places had big machines that made donuts by the many dozens at a time, you know, by the hour, and most of them out front would take and open a little retail store where people could buy these hot, fresh donuts that were made. And there was places like Puritan Donut in Boston, Freddy's Donut in Buffalo, and rain or shine. And in Jersey and Winston-Salem, North Carolina, had an outfit called Krispy Kreme, which has come along. And some of them followed us now.
They did. Finally, and when we come back, we're going to hear the story of how Bill built up his first Dunkin' Donuts. I'm John Resnick. We'll be right back.
Still to come.
We know one thing, that the customer's the boss. You show me a lawyer who don't have any clients, and I'll show you a lawyer that don't have any business. You show me a doctor that doesn't have any patients, and I'll show you a doctor, no matter how good he is, that doesn't have a business. You show me a lawyer that doesn't, a teacher that doesn't have any students, I'll show you a teacher that's not in business. Or a minister that doesn't have congregants, I'll show you a minister that doesn't have a business. It goes on and on. So who's the boss? Whoever you serve. So we've known that. That's been our philosophy. That's been our policy from time immemorial. The customer is the boss. Whatever the customer wants, we plan to give them. And we devote all of our time trying to improve the product, improve the service, improve whatever it is that the customer makes the customer happy.
Plus, how we came up with the name Dunkin' Donuts. Our legendary interview with Bill Rosenberg continues in just a bit on Legends of Success. And now, some legendary advice from the Legends of Success.
Forbes magazine said, Tom Golisano is one of the best CEOs in America who's delivered shareholder value. And I've got similar accolades from Business Week, Chief Executive Magazine, Wall Street Journal. I also looked at Forbes, and I looked at the highest paid CEOs in America. I looked at the top 500. You're way down, like number 455, when you easily could put yourself up much higher. Why haven't you taken more?
Well, I'm afraid I'm out of the school that says, I think in many cases, corporate executives have taken advantage of their companies by paying them what I would consider to be excessive salaries. I think that one of the things that our shareholders have enjoyed over the years is the fact that, yes, I do have a significant position in Paychex stock, and that's what literally drives me and the organization from day to day, and that I haven't overwhelmed myself, if you can use that word, with excessive compensation either in the form of options or salary or bonuses. I think we have taken a very conservative approach, and that's what's earned us some of the recognitions that you just talked about.
To learn more about the Legends, visit legendsofsuccess.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Lawmakers urging President Trump to change course and not to pull remaining U.S. ground troops out of Syria.
It's a terrible thing for our nation. It's a terrible thing for the allies that we've been working with.
That's Republican Senator Bob Corker.
Honestly, this makes what Obama did in Iraq. It's replicating that, but in many ways, it's even worse.
President Trump tweets this morning his decision to pull troops from Syria should not be a surprise, as he says he's been campaigning on the issue for years. The U.S. Senate's approved a funding bill that would help avoid a partial government shutdown come tomorrow night. That bill is now being sent to the U.S. House for action. The Labor Department says first-time jobless benefit requests rose slightly last week. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
I went to have my blood test done a few weeks ago, and I met the doctor, and he was really encouraged by my progress, and I showed him what I was taking, and he started looking at all the ingredients, and he said, I'm really impressed with the shiitake mushroom. And he said, this stuff, it could clean out your arteries. And I'm like, oh, wow. He said, you may be onto something here. And he said, you just keep that up, and maybe you can start cutting back on your medication. And he says, you're helping your health by doing that. And I'm like, whoa, endorsement by the doctor.
When you call, use discount code USA, and we'll take 35% off your first month's order and ship it to you free. Call 800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. My guest today is William Rosenberg. Bill Rosenberg is the founder of Dunkin' Donuts, one of the greatest retail enterprises in the history of America and one of the largest in the world. Bill, going back to Industrial Luncheon, you at the same time you were building Industrial Luncheon, you came up with the idea for your first retail donut store, I believe it was called The Open Kettle. Am I correct?
Right.
Okay, tell us how the transition went. from industrial lunch and being such a successful business and the idea. Tell the listeners the idea of how you start going into the retail donut business from there.
Well, as I explained to you, that coffee represented about 40% of our total sales and the most profitable item we had. And, of course, donuts was the second most biggest item we sold in our food operation, and it was also very profitable. So we used to buy our donuts on the outside, and we had built our own bake shop, and we didn't make our own donuts in the bake shop. And we used to buy our donuts from Puritan, which was the outstanding donut company in the greater Boston area. And I finally decided I would like to hire the guy that ran Puritan Donuts to come and run my donut department, my commissary. His name was, I'm getting a man. I'm an age wreck sometimes. Can't even remember my own name.
You're not that old.
I'll be 86 in 2 weeks.
I know.
That's not old. I don't know what the heck is.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. But at any rate, Alvin Janssen was his name. He's a Swedish gentleman. He came from Sweden. And I wanted to hire him. He says, no, I've been Mr. Henderson for many years. I would not leave him. Well, one day, about several months later, I got a call on a telephone. My switchboard operator said, Mr. Johnson's on the phone. So I got on the phone. He said, Mr. Rosenberg, Alvin Janssen. I said, oh, hi, Alvin. He said, well, you still want to hire me? I said, I sure do. He said, well, you know, he says, I'm going to leave Puritan. I said, why? He said, you know, Mr. Henderson died about 6 months ago. I said, no, I didn't know that. He said, yeah, and I'm working for Mrs. Henderson, and she is one SB, and I cannot work for her.
Oh, boy.
And so I said, well, you give her notice, and I'll hire her. So he came to see me, and I hired him, and he ran our donut department. He was an extremely good donut man, and people said, geez, your donuts are fantastic. I'd like to take them home with me. And everybody raved about his donuts, so one day I got in a conversation with Alvin, and he explained to me that they made more money from the little donut place out front that sold retail donuts. They made from the 12 wholesale trucks that they were running. And the wholesale trucks had 12 men driving the trucks, and they had the cost of the trucks, and they had to sell the donuts at the half price that the retailer who resold them had to make a profit, whereas they sold them at the retail price in a little store in front, and they had no expenses involved by comparison of distribution and so forth. So I said, gee, that sounds like a great idea, Alvin. So we went out looking for a location, and we decided we found one, and we opened it up, and that was our first donut store.
And you called that the Open Kettle. Now, at that point, the typical donut store back then, Bill, only really had about four different kinds of donuts. And I think you said that in a previous conversation that Howard Johnson's had 42 flavors, or 28 flavors, and you said that influenced you. Tell us about that.
Well, we used to make a cream-filled donut. So I said, if we can make a cream-filled donut, and he has 28 kinds of ice cream, why can't I make 28 flavors of cream, ice cream, you know, in a donut? And if we have a jelly donut, why can't we make a black raspberry and a banana and a lemon and an apple and on and on and on and on? So that we actually, we had 132 varieties of donuts we could make. But we decided to advertise 52 varieties because we ran a special every week. It had 52 weeks in a year. So we called it Dunkin' Donuts, 52 varieties. How we got to the name Dunkin' Donuts? When we decided we were doing well and we wanted to expand, I held a brainstorming session in my office, and I had all my people sitting around there, and telephone operators, and people worked in the commissary, and people worked in the office, and executives, and things of that nature. And I said, look, I'm going to expand this business. I don't particularly like that name, Open Kettle. I like a better name. We're going to have a brainstorming session. Whenever it comes into your mind, throw it out. I put an audio tape, that machine. I said, whatever you say, I said, swear, anything you say, we're going to always erase it. Don't worry about it. Whatever comes in your mind, just say it. So all kinds of names were thrown out. Finally, our architect, Bernard Healy, said, what the hell do you do with a donut? He said, let me see. Now, you pick a chicken, you pluck a chicken, you pick a donut, you dunk a donut. I said, that's it. He said, what? I said, Dunkin' Donut. That's what you do with a donut. You dunk it. And so that's how we came up with a name, Dunkin' Donut. Our architect, Bernard Healy, came up with a name.
You know, when you hear that, as soon as you heard the Dunkin' Donuts, you knew it hit. You knew that was going to be a very marketable name, didn't you, Bill?
Yeah. Well, the name don't make the market. The product makes the product.
And let's talk a little bit about that product. You know, coming into this decade now, we've really seen a big surge of Krispy Kreme donuts. And you and I talked before that you were ahead of Krispy Kreme donuts way back when with the theatrics. Tell us a little bit about what it was like back then, and what do you think about Krispy Kreme today? Because they're really making a surge.
Krispy Kreme is doing doing the right things. They're doing the things that I started out doing. They're making a hot, fresh product in front of the public with theater that goes with it. I had windows in my first Dunkin' Donuts stores. And, of course, as my organization grew, they decided they'd take the windows out. I had some arguments about it, but, of course, you go along with your organization, you terminate them one or the other. But I went along with them, and they took the windows out, and we made them. But the fact remains, and we still maintain hot, fresh donuts made them. As you remember, one time we had a group of franchise operators in a television ad that said, we promised to make our donuts fresh every 4 hours, not coffee every 18 minutes. Do you remember that ad we had?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, that was our theory then. Well, anyway, they followed it, and our people stuff. But we still make hot, fresh donuts, and we still make quality products. We always did from industrial lunch and service. We know one thing, that the customer is the boss. You show me a lawyer who don't have any clients, and I'll show you a lawyer that don't have any business. You show me a doctor that doesn't have any patients, and I'll show you a doctor, no matter how good he is, that doesn't have a business. You show me a lawyer that doesn't, a teacher that doesn't have any students, I'll show you a teacher that's not in business. Or a minister that doesn't have congregants, I'll show you a minister that doesn't have a business. It goes on and on. So who's the boss?
The customer.
Whoever you serve. So we've known that's been our philosophy, that's been our policy from time immemorial. The customer is the boss. Whatever the customer wants, we plan to give them, and we devote all of our time trying to improve the product, improve the service, improve whatever it is that the customer makes the customer happy. And other people who have followed us have been successful, and if they maintain that philosophy and that policy, they'll succeed. If they do it with the fervor of a religious zealot, if they do it with a passion, if they don't just give it lip service but really mean it, and apparently those people that do that will succeed. I don't care who they are.
I'm John Resnick. We'll be right back.
Missed part of this week's great Legends of Success interview? No problem. You can hear each week's show online on our website at legendsofsuccess.com. We responded to your calls and emails and now post each week's show for you to listen to free of charge at legendsofsuccess.com. Every week, a great guest to listen to, learn from, and enjoy at your convenience. Look for the link right on the main page at legendsofsuccess.com.
At Budget Blinds, caring is in our DNA. It's the way we do business every day. It starts with exceptional customer service, a process that is centered around you. We listen to you, take the time to find out about your needs, then guide you through a beautiful selection of custom window coverings to find the very best options for you. Our commitment to caring continues throughout our local neighborhoods. We care for our homes and our communities. Budget Blinds supports so many different causes all across North America. We're your local neighborhood experts. We live and work right next to you, and we do it all for you. If that's the kind of personal service you've been waiting for, call and see for yourself. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or find us online at budgetblinds.com. While you're there, find out more about the Budget Blinds commitment to giving back at #BudgetBlindsCares. Each franchise independently owned and operated. Ask for details.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
You know who they are, and now you get to meet them. These are America's Legends of Success with John Resnick.
Our guest today, Bill Rosenberg, the founder of Dunkin' Donuts of the International Franchise Association. Bill, one of the great things about your book, in the back of the book, the last section is what Bill Rosenberg refers to as his guiding principles and philosophies. Now, you may ask yourself, how can I bottle, how can I condense an entire lifetime of such an entrepreneur as Bill Rosenberg? Well, he's done this. In the back of this book,
what is recalled guiding principles and philosophies?
Yes, and this is what drove your entire life, what you've learned. You've had the ability, Bill, to not only learn things, but utilize them to your advantage going forward. And a lot of people miss that part of the story.
First of all, this book was not called, when I wrote it, was not called Time to Make the Donuts. This is my life story. It wasn't just about donuts. So it was called It's Worth the Trip. And then, of course, the publisher got it, and they read it over. The publisher called and said, you know, your company spent millions of dollars on that line, Time to Make the Donuts, on television. I think if you change the name of your book to Time to Make the Donuts, you'd sell more books. I said, if you'd sell more books, you can call it Late for Breakfast, anything you want. So he changed the name to Time to Make the Donuts.
Well, it's a very, very, very good publication, a wonderful book. Bill, you'd gone into business with a partner. His name was Harry Winokur.
Right. Yeah, originally, he had a small piece of it. He was my accountant.
Right, and you bought him out in 1955, and he split off to go to Mr. Donut. But at that point, you really start wanting to build the business. How did you build it stronger? How did you go from 1, 2, 5, 20 locations, build it up, go public? Can we condense that for a moment?
How did I do it?
Well, yes, you and your team.
A man does not build a business.
That's right.
A man builds an organization. An organization builds a business. That was one of the signs, the first signs I ever had in my business. I didn't do it. I did it by having great people around me. Nobody does a heck of a lot on his own. What you can do with your own two hands and your own one mind is limited. What you can do with a whole lot of people working together on the same thing is unlimited. For instance, you take the fragile snowflake which flutters slowly to earth and disintegrates. However, if enough of them stick together, they can paralyze an entire city. That's what happens when you put people working together in a common cause.
And that's been a common theme with so many guests on Legends of Success. We're going to take a short break. We're going to get into how you build up the Dunkin' Donuts chain and then got into the International Franchise Association. You're listening to Legends of Success. My guest today is Bill Rosenberg. I'm John Resnick. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ethan Resnick, and you're listening to my dad, John Resnick, on Legends of Success.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-319-2629. That's 800-319-2629. 800-319-2629.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Good morning, Hunterton. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterton kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterton County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterton, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
You're listening to the interview with Bill Rosenberg, the founder of Dunkin' Donuts, truly an amazing entrepreneur in the history of America. I'm glad to hear you say that. You don't do it alone. You've got to have the team. And as you learn the lesson of what not to do by Harry Simberg, you learn that you must share, which also created the philosophy of franchising. Now, at one point, you tried to hire a gentleman by the name of Fred Turner, I believe, from McDonald's, and Ray Kroc found out and he's a little upset and brought him back. How did you get into the franchising mode of Dunkin' Donuts?
My neighbor was Howard Johnson, and Howard Johnson was the most successful restaurateur in the world at the time. And he was my neighbor in Quincy, Massachusetts, and of course he was one of the founders of franchising, the restaurant service business. So I figured if the way to succeed is to find out who else succeeded. You'll find out people that succeed and people that failed have a different attitude, a different frame of mind, a different road they travel. Those who fail say, well, I'm doing better than somebody else who failed. And those who succeed say, I'm going to find out who's the most successful and follow him, and what he can do, I can do as well or better. And that was what I did. I found out the most successful chain was Howard Johnson in the food service business. Why shouldn't I follow him and franchise donut stores? And that's what I did.
Well, and obviously, in your guiding principles, your number one point is seek out the best people. This is an absolutely powerful, powerful book. You went on, again, we're going to be running out of time here soon. Let's talk a little bit about eventually you went public and you had some, the chairman of Payne Webber came in and tried to tell you what to offer, what to do the IPO at, how much. And I think you had a little bit of a disagreement with him, but you won out on that. Tell us a little about that, Bill.
Well, Nelson Donner was a nice man, but just prior to going, we had agreed to go public at $20 a share. And prior to going public, he called me on the phone. He said he wanted to come see me. And he came down and he said, we think we ought to make it $17.50, not $20. Well, in the interim period, people all knew that we were going public, and the phone was ringing off the hook. Everybody wanted to buy stock. They wanted me to get them stock. And I didn't have enough stock to give everybody. And I said, why would you say that? That don't make sense. And he said, well, that's what my marketing people told me. I said, well, your marketing people didn't do their homework. And he got angry. He said, you mean tell me I don't know what I'm doing? I said, I don't know what you're doing, but you didn't do your homework because, after all, you're wrong. He said, well, why do you think I'm wrong? I said, well, Howard Johnson went public. What are they selling for now? He said, about 65 times earnings. I said, and McDonald's just went public a short while ago. What are they selling for? He said, 66 times earnings. And went on and on. I said, Kentucky Fried Chicken's gone public and they're selling at 60 times earnings. And then we're the next food service franchise coming public at 20 times earnings. Why do you say that we should sell it for less than 20 times earnings? He said, well, that's what my people said. If your people are wrong, I said, you didn't do your homework.
You know, Bill, it's interesting that the wisdom and the vision that you had for your business, sometimes you can bring in some great advisors, but they just don't know the business like the founder and the one who built it. You had a comment, a statement that you made to your employees about before you went public, And you said to all of them, you said, I have one wish for every single one of you, and that's that I want you to become a millionaire, because if you become a millionaire, I'll become a multimillionaire.
I said the same thing to my franchisees.
The franchising was a whole other story about how your philosophy of sharing and going back. You, through the International Franchise Association and from your ability to franchise the Dunkin' Donuts, Bill, you've given the ability for thousands of people to go in business for themselves who never would have had a chance.
How about millions?
Millions? Probably thousands of thousands. How's that?
Let me tell you something. You know, I used to say to the people all the time to explain why I was talking like that. You know, most people say, "Well, you know, I didn't want to give equity away. I don't want to give equity away." And I used to say to people that say that, I'd say, "Let me ask you a question: would you rather own 100% of Bill's Grocery Store or 2% of General Motors?"
Thank you. Which is a perfect point. Let's talk a little bit about Willrose Farms. You're a horse lover. You built up a very, very successful horse breeding operation over the years. Horses won the Hamiltonian, which is absolutely outstanding. Let me ask you this. 50-year anniversary is in year 2000 of Dunkin' Donuts. Bill, any regrets over your life? Anything you wish you would have done?
Yeah, I saw many of them that you don't have time.
Tell us about the one of Mario Puzo quit.
Oh, Mario Puzo. There's two things. I had an opportunity to buy Burger King for $150,000. It's now being sold between $3 and $4 billion. Hmm. That was one of the big mistakes I probably should have taken advantage of. And Mario Puzo first wanted to write my book way back, and I said, geez, I'm too busy. Anyway, had Mario written my book, it would be a bestseller without any question. Mario's a good friend of mine.
Well, and I believe you saved his life down on that health farm because he kept wanting to go to Vegas and gamble and have fun, and you said, Mario, we're staying here. We're going to get healthy.
I don't know if I saved his life or not, but anyway, we lost weight.
Well, that's what he was quoted in saying. You know, Bill, I also know real quick, one of the common themes of Legends of Success and the guests that have been here, you have been extremely charitable. You fought off cancer, you beat it a couple of times like a real champ, and you've given back a significant amount. And I just want you to impress upon the listeners how important giving back is, because I know some of the details, as you know, of certain charitable trusts and foundations. But give us a thought on that.
Well, after all, if you are fortunate enough, as I have been, to come from where I've been, come and gone to where I've gone, what are you going to do with your money? when you retire, you got lots of money, so you're back in business again investing your money. And ultimately, you can do one of two things with it. You can give 55% on every dollar to the government. You can't give it to your children. You can only give it two places you can give your money. You can give it to your spouse or to your charity upon your demise, tax-free. So consequently, charities are requiring these things, and there are people that need help. And I've given to educational facilities. I've given to medical facilities. I've given to all sorts of things. And most people should, and that's why you should do it if you're successful. You should share your success. That's the same thing as in business. If you don't share with your people, you don't build a big business. And if you don't share with your success, you don't continue being successful.
Well, and you've set a great example of that. I've been preaching that for years, that you can really design some great estate plans, avoid taxation, and help others along the way. I know personally you've done a phenomenal job with your charitable trust and your foundation, and hats off to you. Bill, real quick, one of my favorite quips that you've mentioned before. Tell us again, there's two ways to get to the top of the oak tree. How do you get there?
You can get a ladder and climb it, or sit on an acorn and wait for it to grow.
Bill Rosenberg has been our guest today. Bill, it's absolutely fascinating. I can't thank you enough. I know you're getting ready for your trip to go up to Cape Cod. We'll have a box of Hershey bars. Just call on your way. Thank you so much for your kindness and your friendship since I've known you, Bill. I want to thank you again.
Thanks, John.
Again, Bill Rosenberg, the founder of Dunkin' Donuts, an interview we first aired in May of 2002, the first few months of Legends of Success. As we noted, Bill was battling cancer, and in September, just a few months after this show, Bill Rosenberg died of cancer at the age of 86. You can hear this entire show once again on our website at legendsofsuccess.com. This is Legends of Success with John Resnick. Thanks for listening.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then we suggest you call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 immediately. That's 1-800-658-8202. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we will give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or biography, and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 1-800-658-8202 now for your free author submission kit. Numerically, that's 1-800-658-8202. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 1-800-658-8202. That's 1-800-658-8202. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with a simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 for your free author submission kit.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Moments ago in New York City, a Manhattan judge refused to dismiss criminal charges against disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein, which means his sexual assault case is headed to trial. The 66-year-old is facing 5 rape and sex assault charges after one assault charge was dismissed earlier. Weinstein's lawyer had argued this morning that the entire case had been tainted by botched police work.
They're all coming back, and they're coming back now. We won.
President Trump speaks in a video there released yesterday about his decision to pull U.S. troops out of Syria. He says today in a tweet it shouldn't be a shock, seeing as he's been campaigning on that issue for years. Still, lawmakers from both parties, as well as some top Pentagon officials, are urging President Trump to reconsider that decision. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
AAA says more than a third of Americans will be traveling for the holidays. They're anticipating a record-breaking 112.5 million travelers to take to the runways, roads, and rails between now and the 1st of January. Stocks back in negative territory this morning, a day after the Federal Reserve raised interest rates for the fourth and final time this year. The Dow and S&P on track to have their worst December performances since the Great Depression. The Labor Department says that the number of workers filing for first-time unemployment benefits rose slightly last week, 214,000 workers filing, 8,000 more than the previous week. A Senate bill to avert a government shutdown tomorrow night is now headed to the House. It will extend funding for the government until February 8th. Drone sightings shut down Gatwick Airport in London for hours last night, stranding tens of thousands of holiday travelers at the airport, as well as many who were supposed to be landing there. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Two U.S. airmen are suing Defense Secretary James Mattis after being discharged from the military because of their HIV-positive status. The Washington Post is reporting the lawsuit filed Wednesday in U.S. District Court in Virginia argues that their discharge last month violates federal law and the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. The two have tested positive for HIV during Air Force screenings last year. After beginning treatments, their doctors have determined they are physically fit to be deployed. SpaceX and Blue Origin rescheduling their rocket launches for a second time. The two space companies had to abort individual launches back on Tuesday because of a sensor issue and a ground infrastructure problem.